I am so fired up to be here tonight. I'm so excited. I'm so proud. Let me just say this. I am so proud of Daniel and Trey and Philip and Austin and so many individuals who have continued to work and serve and take 318 Live and just carry it to the next level, man. I'm so impressed. Every time I come, I'm blown away by what God is doing and what God's using them to do. And so make sure you're constantly encouraging them. I can tell you from experience, man, sometimes you wonder, is this worth it? Should I even do this? Should I keep doing it? Does anybody care that I'm doing it? And sometimes they just need a little just encouragement, acknowledgement. Hey, listen, you're doing a good thing. Keep doing what you're doing. Everything's going to be great. That's so important for all of us. Tonight, I'm excited to be preaching to you out of the book of Song of Solomon. If you have that, I want you to turn to Song of Solomon tonight. We're going to get into that. We're going to kind of dive into Song of Solomon chapter 1 a little bit tonight. And I'm going to tell you straight up, okay? I'm going to be honest. I don't want to start off as a lie. I need to get clean before God tonight. Man, I stole this message, okay? Stole it. Straight stole it. If you're not stealing messages, then you're just a horrible preacher. I'm just going to tell you right now. If you're not stealing what's good, then your stuff probably sucks, okay? So steal good stuff. That's my message to all of you guys that want to be pastors one day. Steal good messages. I stole this, man. I stole this from Stephen Furtick. If you're going to steal something from somebody, that's a great guy to steal something from. I've been at youth camp all week. I'm just going to tell you, I've been at youth camp all week. And it's so cool because I go to youth camp and people are like, this is awesome. I'm like, man, this is Monday night. We do this every week. Yeah. But I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. It's good that you're here. And so, man, I tell everybody, everywhere I go, I tell people about 318 Live. There'll be people driving from Tyler coming here to hang out with you guys on Monday night. When they get here, hey, I invited them, so make them feel welcome. It's going to happen. Listen, what we do, what happens in this room, what happens in this city does not happen in the rest of the world. And we kind of forget that. I think, you know, that's said to you over and over and over and over and over again to the point where we just become numb to it. You know, I call it, and I've shared this before if you've been here before, and some of you have never heard me, so you won't know. I call it the beach mentality. I've been at the beach all week long doing camp. People are like, oh, that's rough at the beach all week long. Trust me, it's rough. And so I've been there all week long doing camp, and here's the thing. Here's who you see on the beach during the week. People who don't live by the beach go to the beach. People who live at the beach, they ain't at the beach. They're in their living room with their feet propped up, watching their big screen television. They're not out at the beach. I'm just telling you. Why? Because the longer you're around something, the more immune you become to it. It loses its coolness factor, if you will. It loses its grandeur, if you will. It loses its awesomeness, if you will. And listen, can I just say this to you, those of you who have been faithful 318 Live people for a long time? This is awesome. Don't let it lose its awesomeness. Don't ever walk in this room and just think this just happens, because this don't just happen anywhere else. You can ask some of our college students who are here in town. They don't have this. They can't wait to come home and participate and be a part of what God is doing. They're excited about this. We go tell other people about it. People are like, now let me get this right. You mean that people from different churches, wait, not just different churches, but different denominations of churches all get together in the same place and they worship together? They don't yell at each other? That's what I mean. No, you're lying. That's not real. That doesn't really happen. So when I come here and have the opportunity to be a part of it, some of you coming up, you're young. Some of you are young. You don't know. There were people that tried to do this for years. I was a part of it, tried to do it for years, and just it never could seem to get off the ground. But I believe that your generation is going to do it. I believe your generation is going to take this thing to the next level. I'm telling you, our city is not going to be the same in 10 years, 5 years, in 2 years because of what's happening at 318 Live. I promise you that. Here's why. Because there are future church leaders and city leaders sitting in this room. God's growing you up. God's calling you to a purpose. And you are going to have the kingdom in your mind because of what God does through 318 Live. And I am so excited about that because I'm going to be old living here. If God doesn't move me to a beach, which we're talking about, okay, God? So keep that in your mind. But if God doesn't move, I'm going to be here, and I don't want stupid people running the church, and I don't want stupid people running the city. And so I need you to get your life right with Jesus, get excited about God, and do something great so that when I'm older, I'm not trying to move because of you, okay? So that's the side note. They ain't got anything to do with tonight. I just want to give you plenty of time to get to Song of Solomon, chapter 1. If you're there, say there. you guys have been doing this Hands Up series, and tonight I'm not going to talk a lot about sex. I don't want to disappoint you. Some of you are like, what? She just left. Look, that's okay. I'm sorry. She's like, no, I came to hear about sex, and I'm going to hear. I can't watch it on TV. I can't sing it in the car. I come to church to hear about sex, and you're not going to talk. I'm just messing with you. She said, wash your hands. Okay, it's cool. So she won't never come back. First time guest. I apologize for that. Anyway, I'm not really going to talk a lot about sex tonight. I'm going to talk about the things that get us to sex, which is kind of relationship. It's sometimes important that when we deal with a problem, we sort of expose the core of the problem and sort of the root of the problem. We got to get down to the seed of the problem, if you will. Seed being a sexual term, if you think about it. We got to get down to the seed of the problem. Look, I'm not PG-13, so if you're going to be offended, you should leave now, okay, with the girl who just left. That just y'all carpool to Chick-fil-A and pray together and have a holy chicken sandwich. But I'm going to talk about relationship tonight, and I'm going to talk about it out of Song of Solomon because my eyes were open to some things just as I was listening to Stephen Furtick preach this message. I listened to it a couple of times. I was like, man, that's so good. I'm going to steal it, and then I'm going to preach it. And so tonight you're going to get his message through me. But I know this. He stole it from somebody else, so I'm not offended at all. He's not upset, and I gave him some props. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. If you're there, say there. Look at verse 2. Let him kiss me. Now, this is her talking. This is she talking. This is feminine. Let him kiss me with kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Look at the girl sitting beside you right now and just say, pump the brakes. This girl starts out strong. She ain't coming in like, oh, he cute. She like, ah. You know, I'm like, she coming in hot and heavy right here. She says, are you reading this? I mean, this is dirty right here. She comes in. She's like, let him kiss. Oh, girl, let him kiss me. Let him kiss me. Boy, you better come here. I will put something on you. You don't even know what's going to happen. You will call my mama and thank her whenever I am done with what I have got. I'm just telling you, look how the girl starts out. This ain't sweet. This ain't romantic. This ain't middle school. My girl comes in strong. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Now, side note, Stephen said this is his joke. I'm going to give him credit for it. He said this is, and listen, I grew up Baptist. Don't get offended. Some of you going to walk out also. Don't get offended. This is why Baptist people don't preach this message, because in the first verse, there is sex and alcohol. Did you see it? I mean, first verse, let him kiss me with kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. As a good Baptist kid growing up, that's when we went, let's go to Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs. My youth pastor will have said, you don't need to hear about that. You too young. You ain't ready for that. You don't need to hear about that. Now, I want to put the context. I want you to understand the context. It's believed by scholars, okay? It's believed by scholars that this book is actually being written by Solomon to his first wife, okay? First wife. How many of you understand that Solomon was considered to be the wisest man in the world? So this is a book being written. They believe that this book was written to his first wife. It's important that we say first because how many of you understand that he had over 700 wives, which also means he was the dumbest man in the world. He was both. He was an oxymoron. And more moron than oxy, I'm going to be honest. 700 wives is a little much. So this book is being written to his first wife when he's still living for God. That's what scholars believe, okay? So just so we can set the context, you need to understand that this is at their wedding stage. This is not early stage. Sometimes we read this book and we get confused about the timeline because it's one of those kind of weird timelines where it goes here and then it flashes back. And then it goes here and it flashes back. And I hate those kind of shows. Can I just be honest with you? Because I can't. You go to the bathroom, you come back, you're four generations. You don't know what happened. You miss the whole story. You got to back the TiVo up, watch it all again, figure it out. This is when he's getting married. Now, if you go all the way through Song of Solomon, you're going to see the marriage stage, then you're going to see the dating stage, then you're going back to the marriage stage. So it just kind of goes back and forth. So you got to understand the timeline here. They didn't just meet, okay? My girl didn't just meet Solomon. She ain't kind of come on hard all in the beginning. This is after they've dated, after they've courted. Now they're married. And as they're married, because some of y'all just got a license to sin when I gave you the first verse. Some of y'all are like, well, it's in the Bible. Some of y'all was going to, seriously, y'all was going to be looking at girls going, hey, what about verse 2? You want me to kiss you with the kisses of my mouth? Some of you girls need to look at the guys and say, pump the brakes. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. It goes on to say this, your anointing oils are fragrant, your name is oil poured out. Therefore, the virgins love you. Look again, your anointing oils are fragrant, your name is oil poured out. Therefore, the virgins love you. Guys, I'm going to give you a little hint right there. Did you see it? Did you see the part about the fragrance? It says, for your name is, your anointing oils are fragrant. This is what that means. I'm going to break it down for you. It means you smell good. Girls, how many of you appreciate a man that smells good? Can I just get an amen in the house tonight? Thank you. Guys, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to give you a little secret. I don't tell everybody this. I've been discipling guys for probably about 15 years of my life. I'm going to let you in on a little something. One, Brandon never stinks. I've been married 19 years. It's still important not to stink. I don't stink. I'm gonna let you in, guys. Take notes. I'm gonna let you in on my secret. There's a reason why I don't stink. And the reason's called Bath and Body Works. Thank you, ladies. I'm gonna put you on a real trip right now. I wear Bath and Body Works body spray. I'm not joking. And I have converted multiple individuals to Bath and Body Work believers. Amen. Thank you back there, brother. I appreciate it. One of my men right there, one of my disciples going strong right there. Smelling fresh right now, I guarantee. Whatever girl sitting beside him needs to just go, oh, thank you, God. Now, my typical scent is cucumber melon, country apple. Those are seasonal scents. You can't get those all the time. Mango mandarin. Some of you girls are like, no, he's for real. He's quoting stuff. He knows some scripture from Bath and Body Works. I know some stuff. I walk into Bath and Body Works. They like, oh, hey, how you doing? What, you here to get something for your wife? I'm like, no, baby, I'm here to get something for me. She's like, well, praise God. Somebody finally called on. Let me tell you how you do this, fellas. You take a shower, good hot shower, get the pores good and opened up. Step out of the shower, dry yourself off. That's important. You don't want to mess up the solution. Dry yourself off, and then from your head to the bottom of your feet, spray yourself down with this goodness right here. Now, this white citrus is real good. It's got a great scent to it. I just started wearing this last week because they were out of my other stuff. I put Trey on it. I'm at a youth camp. True story, I'm out of youth camp. I'm standing in a room full of guys that are like on steroids, okay? I don't know how else to put it. You know, they're working out every 30 minutes. I'm like, man, don't you got a job? Don't you do something? You working out all the time. You sweat. You smell bad. I'm spraying this. I get out of the shower. You want to get it all, okay? And they're like, what is that? I said, it's Bath and Body Works. Isn't that for girls? If you mean to attract girls, then yes. And so they start out at the beginning of the week making fun of me. We're going out places. We're out with public people like, hey, y'all want to know a secret? Brandon wear Bath and Body Works. I'm like, girl, ain't no secret, smell. Every time they go, oh, my God, that's wonderful. By the end of the week, dudes are getting out of the shower. Hey, bro, well, you got that spray? You got that spray? Let me get that spray off of you. Converted everybody in the room. Trey, my man Trey, is now a Bath and Body Works believer. This is his bottle. This is his bottle of Bath and Body Works. I had him go to his house and get it. This. You smell so fresh and so clean. Guys, I'm telling you a secret right here. It's in the scriptures, okay? I ain't making this junk up. It's in the scriptures. It says right there, man. Did you read it? It was right after verse 2. It says, your anointing oils are fragrant. She's saying, baby, you smell good. Every woman wants a man that smells good. Listen, your natural scent is not pleasing to us. I'm sorry. You just need to know. And let me just tell you something else. Axes of the devil. Stop. Guys, did you hear the applause that just happened? They trying to tell you something. Stop! Some of y'all think that's an excuse to not bathe. You bought the hype. They put a hot chick and a goofy guy on a commercial, sprayed him with Axe. They paid that girl to chase him down. She didn't volunteer for that. She got paid. Don't believe the hype. It's a lie. Axes of the devil. Stop spraying that stuff on you. It don't smell fresh. I promise. Okay, I'll just decide. No, we got to preach this right here. I got to get into this. There's really some good stuff in here that will make you, you know, change your life. So here's what it says. Watch. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils are fragrant. Now, this is so key. Listen to this verse. Your name is oil poured out. Therefore, virgins love you. This is interesting to me. Solomon's obviously an attractive guy. He's attracting a lot of attention, a lot of girls thinking, Solomon's a hottie. But it's funny to me that in this verse, it tells us what the true attraction is. It says, here's the attraction. The attraction is that your name is like oil poured out. Here's what that literally translates to mean. Your name means something. Young ladies, can I tell you how to determine an attractive individual from an unattractive individual? It's not by his abs. It's by his integrity. It's not by his hairstyle, it's by his character. See, when people talk about your man, you don't want them to just say, oh, girl, he fine. He dumb, but he fine. You don't want them to look at you and say, oh, girl, he got it going on. He a man whore. He a man whore. But can he say that? Yes, I can. I told you, it's PG-13 and above, so you just got to know I can say that. You don't want to be with the guy that everybody's looking at saying, oh, he cute, but he a dog. You want to be with a man, listen, that when somebody brings his name up, people go, oh, I like that guy. Oh, that guy's got character. Oh, that guy's got integrity. Oh, that guy has a relationship with God. Oh, that guy's doing some things in his life. He ain't just sitting around playing video games all day waiting on something to happen. He's making things happen. That's the guy you want to be with. Because here's why. Because guys get bald. And I know I make bald look good, but not everybody pulls it off like I do, okay? I'm just telling you right now, guys lose their hair, guys gain weight. I don't know what happened. I don't care how many crunches you do. Eventually, everything you eat gonna just take up residence in your stomach. Guys gain weight. At some point, he ain't gonna be what the Greek god he used to be. I hate to drop that on you right now. I know some of you was just thinking, oh, Lord. I thought he was going to be beautiful forever because Lord knows he can't carry on a conversation. It ain't going to be the truth. So if his name doesn't mean anything, when you're not attracted to him physically, you won't find yourself attracted to him spiritually. His name needs to mean something. Girls, you need to consider the guys that you're hanging out with right now. You need to begin to ask yourself, hey, what does his name mean? I don't mean go get the doggone, you know, book with the names and be like, oh, it means warrior, king. I mean, when people in the community talk about your man, what are they saying? She says, that's the reason that all the virgins want to be with you is because your name means something. Young men, that's a challenge to you. Establish your identity. Establish your identity, and it's important that you work on the outer you, but man, you better make sure you're putting some time on the inner you. Because if all you got going for you is what's on the outside, you ain't got much going. I'm just telling you right now. That's why sometimes, I'm just telling you right now, and I wouldn't say this about any pastor in this room, because we got some good-looking pastors up in this room. I just want to go ahead and just say that right now. We got some good-looking men of God in here, but and I just say every man of God is not the most handsome person I've ever met in my life. I'm going to give you an example. We're going to have to cut all this out of the podcast. Let me just preface. Stop here. Okay. I had the opportunity to be in an event with a guy who's well-known, very famous. In fact, if I just don't say his name, maybe we can leave it in the podcast. Very famous individual. Ugly. Some of y'all are like, I know that guy. I bought his album. That's a hint. Ugly. Great guy. Ugly. His wife comes into the room where I'm at. I look at her. I'm like, man, this girl's good. Like, hey, how you doing, girl? What's up? Now, I'm married. I ain't trying to, you know, get all up on her. I'm just like, man, hey, what's up, girl? How you know? Who you looking for? She's like, oh, I'm looking for my husband. I'm like, who's your husband? She told me, I went, no, really. Girl, you so funny. Stop playing. No, really, who you looking for? She's like, no, that's really my husband. I'm like, ooh, that's what anointing does right there. That's what anointing does. You see some goofy-looking guys out there. I'm telling you, go back and get some pictures of me early days, let's don't do it, but early days, my wife is still smoking hot. She was smoking hot then. I'm in college. I'll never forget the first day she walked into the room and I went, oh, God. Y'all felt the room move? Lord Jesus, did you see what just walked in? Hey, girl. Hey, girl. Hey, girl. Hey, girl. Just ignored me. Act like I wasn't even in the room. Just ignore. I'm goofy looking. Now, I just need to paint a picture for you. I'm wearing MC Hammer pants. I don't know why. Because I was too legit to quit. I'm just telling you right now. So I was like, oh. I mean, I just big. Probably because I was like 115 pounds and they made me look big. You know what I'm saying? So anything I could wear to look big. I had a big oversized shirt on. I had taken a Nazarite vow. I was growing hair at that time. Hard for some of you to believe. But the deal was that we just wasn't cutting the back of our head. We could cut everything but the back of our head. So if you can imagine, I got hair down to halfway down my back. It ain't styled. It ain't fancy. The top is like froed up, kind of weird like. I look like a Kid and Play reject, okay? It was bad. Some of you are like, Kid and Play? I don't know who Kid and Play is. Go look, iTunes it, okay? You like it. It's good stuff. So I looked horrible. I'm just telling you right now, I ended up with the girl. Now, some of you could say it was the divine providence of God. True. But none of you could say it was because I was sexy. None of you. It was because my name, it was important to me that my name meant something. Why? Because it's all I had to work with. See, some of you guys need to realize what you got to work with, and you need to start working on it. It's all I had. I didn't have anything else. All these other guys had all these things and all this stuff, could offer her the moon. All I had was what God was doing in my life. I ended up with this incredible woman, and I'm telling you right now, it had nothing to do with me, but it had everything to do with the identity that God had given me. And some of us just, listen, men, start walking in your God-given identity, and he will bring you the woman that is greater than the woman of your dreams. But you need to get that. Stop walking around playing games, acting like you know somebody, because you don't. I'm just telling you, we got to finish reading this. Listen, she says, draw me after you. Let us run to the king's chamber. And then everybody else at the party says, we will exalt and rejoice in you. We will extol your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. Then she says this, and this is so key, man. This is why I want to talk about this tonight. I don't even know how long. Okay, yeah, no, we're good. So she says this right here. She says, I am very dark, but lovely. O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon, do not gaze at me. And she's talking to Solomon. You got to understand who she's talking to. She's talking to her husband. She says, do not gaze at me because I am dark, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's sons were angry with me, and they made me keep the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Now, you need to understand what's going on here. Here's what she's saying. In our time, it's cool if you have a tan. Men like women with a little bronze on them. You know what I'm saying? We pay. We'll have people spray us. We'll lay in beds that other people have laid in. We will do whatever we have to do to get a little brown on us, a little tan on us. But in this time, it was not considered to be beautiful. It was not considered to be desirable for a woman to be dark. It was preferred that a woman be light. And here's why. Because it was a status symbol. See, if you were darkened by the sun, some of you light girls just went, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I hear you, God. It's still true today. It's still true today. I see you, baby. I see you. Hey, you do what you do, though. So in this time, she's insecure about the way she looks. Men, listen to me. They all are. Hello. They all are. And the ones who act like they ain't are the biggest liars of all time. They're all insecure about how they look. They all got something they don't like. They all got something as they look, as they scan, as they glare in the mirror. They find the things that they're unhappy with themselves about. Here's the deal. Men, if you think you're going to get a woman who has zero insecurity, think again. It is your responsibility, as you're going to find in the Word, to speak into that insecurity and bring forth the truth that lies within. That's your job. That's your job. Here's this woman. Get this. She's already been chosen by the king. It ain't like she's standing in line. It ain't like she's trying to be next. She's already said, I do. He already said, I done. done. And they headed to the wedding chamber. It's already settled. He already chose her. And even in that, so guys, get this. After you get married, don't think the insecurity goes away. It just doesn't. So even in the midst of that insecurity, she speaks and she says, look, don't even look at me. Don't even look. I'm embarrassed for you to see me because I'm dark. And the reason I'm dark is because I'm a peasant who's literally worked in the vineyards all my life. The sun has beat down on me. See, in that day, if you were light-skinned, it meant that somebody else did the work for you. You just sat up in the house all day eating bonbons, staying light-skinned and getting a little bit bigger. That's all that meant. That's all that meant. And that was the desirable woman. That's what people wanted. People didn't want the woman who had been working and laboring with her hands. Get this, guys. Pick up on this. Not only was she insecure, but she had a busted, broken family. Why? Because the Bible says that her brothers were angry with her. The reason she's working in the vineyard is probably because her father has either gone or he's died. And so she's left to work in order to provide for the family. And her brothers are sending her out. You don't just marry the girl. You marry all the things that happened to the girl along the way. And you need to understand that. See, some of us are so quick to get into people's pants and we don't even know people's past. That'll tweet all day long and twice on Sunday. We don't know the past. We don't know the problem. We don't know what they've come with and what they've come from. We don't understand what's going on in their life. And what we as men want to do is we want women to handle it the way we handle it. Just get over it. Just get over it. That's in the past. That's not how girls work. That's not how it works. And the reason I'm sharing this passage of scripture with you today is because what I want you to understand is that this relates to every person sitting in this room, every girl who's walking through insecurity, carrying the problems of her past, and every guy who thinks he wants to marry her up so that he can make her his own. You need to learn that you're going to have to deal with these problems. And if ain't nobody told you, now I'm telling you. But Solomon's such a great man, such a wise man. He's going to do something that's going to help us. But it goes on. It goes a little farther. This is so good. She says, do not gaze upon me because I'm dark, because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me keep the vineyards, but my own vineyards I have not kept. And then she says this. Tell me, you whom my soul loves, where you keep your sheep, where you make them lie down at noon. And then she says something that you're totally not probably going to understand until I break it down for you. She says, for why should I be like one of the veils, one who veils herself beside the flocks of your companions? I had no idea what that meant. Anybody here know what that means? Women who wore veils in this time among the shepherds were prostitutes. And here's what she said. She said, hey, tell me where you're going to be today. Because I shouldn't have to come looking for you. I should know where you are. Now see, we as guys like, No, you ain't gonna control me. You ain't gonna tell me. You ain't gonna run my schedule. Wrong. She said, here's what she said. She said, hey, look, if you want to be with me, if you want to get with this, you need to understand that I come with standards. I ain't coming at you like a prostitute. I'm coming at you like a woman. And if you want me to be where you are, then you need to understand that I ain't coming at you like some little flirt. I'm coming at you like a woman of God, and you need to be prepared for what you're asking for. Ladies, can I say something to you? If you got to lower your standards, he ain't your man. The guys are like, man, you going to preach to us at all tonight, man? What's up, man? It's all girls. So I told you smell good, okay? I gave you something. I gave you a little nugget in the beginning. This is what she says. She says, look, I'm not coming at you like a prostitute. I'm not coming at you like some floozy. I ain't changing the way I dress just to impress. That's good, too. Isn't that tweet right there? That would tweet right there, too. I mean, I'm throwing them out tonight. She said, I ain't changing the way I dress just to get your attention, just to get your affection. No, when I come at you, I'm coming at you like your wife. I'm not coming at you like your girlfriend. See, if some of y'all would start coming at people like that, listen, they start treating you like that. Oh, see, now, guys, I'm preaching to the girls now, see. See, if you start coming at people like you have respect, you'll get respect. If you start coming at guys like you have dignity, then you'll get dignity. But if you come at me like a hoochie, you're going to be treated like a hoochie. I'm just telling you, I don't care who you are, that's what's going to happen. They're like, can he say that too? He can say that too. It's 318. We can say whatever we want to say. This is what the word of God says. This woman says, listen, tell me where you're going to be. I will come to you, but I'm not coming at you as a prostitute. I'm not coming at you as someone who's lowered my standard. I'm not changing who I am just because we got married. You knew who I was when you married me. That's who I'm going to be after we get married. You need to understand that. You can't change her, and here's the truth. She can't change you. Girls, you can't change him. Oh, I'll get him married up and changed up and looking right. No, you won't. You'll be married up and embarrassed. Seen it happen too many times. You ain't gonna change him. Oh, no, I'll change him. Oh, I got my ways. No. No. Just no. I can't even get into that right now. We don't even have time. Listen, Solomon responds. He just listened to his bride say all of this, and he responds. This is so good. Listen, men, take notes. If you do not know, O most beautiful among women, follow me in the tracks of my flock and pasture your goats beside my shepherd's tents. He said, you ain't got to look for me, girl. Just go with me. Right? Did you hear that? My man just dropped some smooth on her real hard. She just melted like butter. He said, you ain't never going to have to look for me because you're going to go with me. That's the kind of guy you're looking for, ladies. You're looking for a guy who ain't trying to leave you behind. He's looking for a guy who's trying to take you with. Oh, girl, I just got things I'm doing. I'm just so busy. Your priorities are wrong. I'm just telling you. But then he don't stop there because that's good already. If he'd have just stopped there, she was like, oh! Take me, Solomon, right? But they're married. They're married. Don't get upset. They're married, okay? Listen what he says next. This is good. Guys, you want to write this down. I compare you, my love, to the horses among Pharaoh's chariots. Bam! Some of y'all are like, oh, no, he didn't. No, he did not just call me a horse. But he did. He did. Now, I had to do a little digging. I was like, God, you either got a real funny sense of humor, and you're like, watch. He finna call her a horse. Watch. Ah! You're so stupid. You shouldn't have said that. So you got to understand, remember what she talked about. Remember, she said, don't look at me. Why? She had an insecurity. She said, don't look up on me. I'm dark. I've been working in the fields. I'm common. I'm ordinary. There's nothing unique about me. Here's what you need to understand. All of Pharaoh's horses in this time were white. Everybody else's horses were black. The only way you could be one of Pharaoh's horses was to be a white horse, because white horses were considered to be unique, set apart, special, significant. Do you hear what he just said? No, see, you don't see what I see. See, you see somebody that's commonplace. You see somebody that's everyday. I see somebody that's set apart. I see somebody that's amazing. I see somebody that's wonderful. I see somebody that's awesome. He said, see, I don't see you the way you see you. Guys, take notes. You need to learn to speak to the insecurity in the woman around you. Listen, even if she's just your sister in Christ and not your wife in Christ, you need to begin to speak to the insecurities of the women around you and call them out of the darkness and the lie that the enemy's trying to hold them in. You need to begin to tell them the truth about who they are. So Solomon looks at her and says, girl, you as fine as the horses that carry Pharaoh's chariot. And in that time, that was a good pickup line. Don't try it now. Doesn't mean the same. You got to understand the time to really get the reference, okay? He says, your cheeks are lovely with ornaments, your neck with strings of jewels. We will make for you ornaments of gold studded with silver. It goes in 12, 14. We'll read this, but it says, while the king was on his couch, my nard gave forth its fragrance. I'm not going to get real deep into that right now with you. I'm talking about relationships, and that's about something else. My beloved is to me a sachet of myrrh that lies between my breasts. Now, there were some guys just then that went, hey, what's a sachet of myrrh? And how do I be one? Because that sounds like a good job. Don't act like you didn't. Some of you guys were Googling, right? Sachet of myrrh. Next week, I'll have that next. I'm going to get some of those. Sachet of myrrh between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyard. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. This is him, man, constantly reaffirming who she is, constantly speaking against that insecurity that she spoke of. Listen what he says. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Guys, did you hear what he said? Your eyes, not your boobs. Some of y'all looking in the wrong place when y'all talk to girls. Oh, the girls should have got a lot louder right then. It's up here, not down here. He noticed her eyes. Some of you, you've been sitting by the same girl for a week, and I've asked you what color her eyes were, you'd be like, beautiful. Beautiful color. Just beautiful. Just love them. Just beautiful. Round. Beautiful and round. And big. Are you sure you're talking about her eyes? I don't know. That description could go either way. We don't know what you're talking about. You need to put some color in there. Don't say pink, because then you're really in trouble. You don't say pink. She had pink eye. Pink, I think she had pink eye. Too far? Too far? Too far. Bring it back. Bring it back. I apologize for that. Jesus. We're almost done, guys. I promise we're almost done. We're getting there. We're getting there. Listen, she responds to him, behold, you are beautiful, my beloved, truly delightful. Our couch is green. The beams of our house are cedar. Our rafters are pine. And then this is so incredible, guys. This is her still talking. When we get into chapter 2, she is still talking. And listen, all of a sudden, because Solomon understood how to treat a woman, listen to what happens. She says, I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valleys. And he just responds to that. He goes, oh yeah, I got her now. I got her thinking right. I got her going right. I got her in the right direction. I'm speaking against that insecurity. Now I'm just going to reaffirm what I've already said. She says, like a lily in the valleys. Listen, he says, not just in the valley, but you're like a lily among thorns. In other words, you're better than all the rest. Everybody else, thorns. You're a lily. So rich. So rich how he speaks to that insecurity, how she begins to speak that truth back to him, and then he begins to reaffirm that truth in her. Listen, that's what relationships are all about. And can I be honest with you? If we can learn to deal with insecurities, we'll stay out of each other's pants. Because the thing that leads us to intimacy before marriage is insecurity. The whole reason I'm sharing this message with you today is because if we can learn to deal with the insecurities in our life, young men, if we can strengthen the insecurities, if we can grow the truth in the women around us, rather she's your sister in Christ or your future wife in Christ, it doesn't matter. If you can begin to speak and combat those insecurities in her life, she won't be running to somebody to find her significance. She will discover what God has put inside of her, and she won't need somebody else to make her feel good about herself. But guys, can I just be honest? It's the same with us. It's the same with us. And we want to pretend like it's not. We want to act like it's not. And we want to be like, yeah, what? Yeah. We're just as insecure as they are. I've stayed with guys. I've traveled with guys. I've been in dorm rooms with guys. And I know the truth about guys. And the truth is that even we deal with insecurity. Even we are looking to be what the world says we need to be. Even we are trying to fit some mold that the world has established for us. Even we will do things that go against our very conscience and our very conviction in order to feel like we fit in. Even we have insecurity. You need to begin to deal with the insecurity in your life. You need to begin to study the Word of God and establish what the Scripture says about you. And you need to begin to identify yourself and make your name great according to God's Word about you. We need to deal with our insecurities, because if we can remove insecurities from people, we can stop people from running after things that we think are going to bring fulfillment that actually only bring pain. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. So, so is my love among the young women. And then this is so good. She says this. As an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. With great delight, I sat in his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Now, this actually isn't as sexual as you might think it is. Here's what this scripture means. I sat in his shadow. Remember in the beginning, chapter 1, what is the thing she spent all of her time in that brought her insecurity? The sun. And now what is the thing that her husband has brought her? The shade. He covers the thing that brings the insecurity in her life. Young men, when you become husbands of God, you will cover the thing in your woman's life that brings the insecurity. That is your responsibility. And then she says the fruit is sweet. It means this: you will provide for her the necessity. You will take care of her needs. You will be her source. You will give her the things that she needs. So you will protect her and you will provide for her. Young men of God, that's what God's called you to be: a protector and a provider. A protector and a provider. A protector and a provider. If you can't provide, you're not ready. If you can't protect, you're not ready. If you can't take care of you, you can't take care of her. God has called you to be a provider and a protector. And we're going to close with this verse right here. She says, with great delight I sat in his shadow, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. And then she says this, and the band can begin to make their way back up. She says, he brought me to his banqueting table, and his banner over me is love. In this time, the banner was the identifying marker. So if there was a battle or a war or if there was a gathering, they would put banners up that identified your different tribe or your different group so that way you would know where you were supposed to sit. It said who you were, basically. As you sat there, people would recognize you based on the banner. So they would see the banner and they would identify you according to the banner. And she says, his banner over me is love. Let me just ask you a question. What does his banner over you say? I'm not talking about the Lord. I'm talking about the person that you were in the relationship with, the person you are in the relationship with, or the person you're thinking about getting in a relationship with. What does their banner define you as? Because where some people say love, everyone around them says lust. I mean, too many young ladies that say, oh, he loves me. But everybody around her is looking, saying, no, girl, he just lusts after you. Because if he loved you, he wouldn't treat you the way he treats you. He wouldn't be doing the things that he's doing. Some of us say, oh, but I can trust him. His banner over me is trust. And you got people looking at your life saying, no, it says manipulation. It's clear. I don't know why you can't see it, but maybe you need to step out from underneath the banner and turn around and look at it. But from where I'm standing, that don't say trust. That don't say love. That don't say compassion. That doesn't say grace. See, some of us are being defined by the banners that are being placed over us, but they don't say what our heart desires for them to say. But we're so desperate to be defined as a people that we will take anybody who will give us a banner. We will settle for anybody who's willing to put their banner up high above us and identify us, as long as it means we don't have to be alone. If you're not real sure what the banner over your head says and the relationship you're in, ask the people around you and tell them to be honest. And if they don't look at you and say love, they don't look at you and say grace, they don't look at you and say something that sounds like something you want to be a part of, then you need to reevaluate the relationship and you need to reconsider. But here's the great news. Is that regardless of what your banner says right now in this moment today, or what it said in the past, or how you've been identified in the past, there is a God who says, I got a seat for you. I got a place. Just like this young lady, such an incredible testimony. God said, now, girl, that's who you used to be. I got a banner for you. Why don't you just come sit right here in the seat of love? Why don't you just come sit right here in the seat of grace? Why don't you just come sit right here in the seat of forgiveness? Why don't you come sit right here in the seat of new beginning? Why don't you come sit right here? I got a banner for you. I got an identifier for you. I got a personality. I got a character. I got something for you. And it's not what everybody else said. It's not what everybody else thinks. I see you differently than everybody else sees you. I know you better than everybody else knows you. And if you'll just come sit under my banner, you'll discover the identity that you were supposed to have, not the one somebody tricked you into having. And there are some of us here tonight, honestly, man, we're standing under a banner, and it is not the one we desire. We are not identified as the people that we desire to be identified as, and the only thing keeping you there, pay very close attention to this, is you. See, I used to blame my banner on everybody else. I met with a young girl this week. Horrible life story. She came up to me after service. She said, can I just talk to you? Can I just tell you what's going on in my life? Can I just share? I've been in ministry long enough that when a young lady asks me that question, I never say yes. I always say this. Do you have an adult female that we can pull in? So there was a lady there that I knew in ministry that I respected. I said, hey, I need you to come. I'm going to sit down and talk with this girl. And this girl began to pour out this picture in front of me. She said, when I was a child, my dad sold me for sex for $70 a hit. So when I was a young child, my dad sold me for sex. He sold my little brother for sex. She said, I was adopted. I was taken away from my family. I came up in the foster care system, and this family fostered us and then adopted us. And she began to tell me some stories about that, and there was some brokenness even in that family and in that relationship. She began to talk about that, and she said, as I got older and I began to look for my identity, because I didn't know who I was. I began to look for my identity. I just began to try and find things that would identify me. She said, I became the girl that partied. I became the girl that drank. She said, I started out doing soft drugs, and then I started getting into heavy drugs, and then I just began sleeping with anybody who would have me. She's sitting at this table. She's sitting across from me. And she said, because I know who I am, I know there's no way God would ever have me. And I looked across the table at her and I said this. I said, see, that's the thing. You know who you are, but you've yet to discover who he is. See, you've been so focused on your banner. You've been focused on your identity. You've been focused on what you have to say about you, what other people had to say about you. But girl, it's time to take that banner down, because there is a God who's so in love with you that he's been drawing and putting a banner together in your honor, and it is posted up high, and he's just waiting on you to step out of where you used to be into where he wants to take you. And tonight, your identity's about to change, because no longer are you who you say you are. Now you are who he says you are. His banner over you tonight is love. Listen, tonight, some of you have been living under a banner of insecurity. You've been living in a banner of fear. You've been living under a banner of shame. You've been living under a banner of guilt. You've been living under a banner of denial. And tonight God says, take the banners down. Take that down. I'm putting a banner up high, and it just says, I love you. Come to me, all who are heavy and weary and laden, and I will give you rest. Tonight there are some of you here, and it's not so much about your relationship with this guy or this girl or him or her. Tonight it's about your relationship with him and you. And the greatest way to overcome your insecurity is to discover your identity according to who God says you are. Tonight I just have to believe that in this room sitting tonight, there are those who are battling on the inside with who they see themselves as. Tonight, God is speaking truth over your situation and over your lie. And he's saying, tonight, I will receive you unto myself. You will be my child, and I will be your king. And my banner over you will be love.